Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the host, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
That is, I seek protection from God from Shaitan, the rejected enemy. Bismillahi Rahmani Rahim, with the name of God, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Dear IWDM radio listening audience, I greet you with the Muslim greeting of peace. Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, where Mark Shahid and Shakir examine sound approaches to making marriage the blessing it was intended to be. Being a learning lab, we learn together, sharing lessons that inshallah lead to a beautiful and memorable wedding day and a fulfilling marriage life full of faith, trust, affection, peace, and joy. I am Quran Shakir. It is my pleasure to serve as today's engineer, co-producer, and co-host. Tonight, we will look at the marriage contract. While we are making our introductions and our opening announcements, please joy of this program by letting your family and friends know that you are listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab on IWDM Radio. To that, all that you need to do is send a text, make a post, invite them to join you at 714-816-4673. And now, ladies and gentlemen, dear radio listening audience, without further ado, it is my esteemed pleasure to introduce and bring on my co-host, Mark Shahid. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam to Quran Shakir and to the IWDM radio listening audience. And as always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم مبارك. That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger. And what follows in an excellent salutation, the prayers and peace be upon the Prophet. I am Mark Shahid, host, facilitator, and producer, along with Quran Shakir of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, that's heard each and every Thursday night here on IWDM Radio. I want to let you know that this Learning Lab has been in session for 7 years and about 4 months this month in February, as it will, inshallah, God willing, in October sometime this year, it'll be 8 years, starting on our sister station, AM 360 Radio, and has been continued here on IWDM Radio. We also, Quran and I also want to invite our new listeners that may be listening in tonight. For the first time, we want you to feel very comfortable in terms of asking questions or making comments on anything that we may say tonight, either on the topic that we have for tonight or anything pertaining to Islamic courtship and also the sacred institution of marriage. We also are very much aware of the fact that many are listening in by way of the internet. And as Karan just said, for you to be a participant, you do have to call in to the studio. And those who are already in the studio, you can press 1 if you have a question or comment. We want to entertain any questions or comments tonight, and those who listen in by way of the internet. That number, once again, is 714-816-4673. We also, want the participation tonight on the topic that it is that we will have tonight. We want you to know that this Learning Lab has a foundation. And there's 3 sources that we actually use. The first is Al-Quran. Al-Quran is the final revelation, is for all of humanity, the final revelation for all of humanity. And then the second source that we use is the life demonstration of the Quran by Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is the prayers and the peace be upon the Prophet, in the demonstration of the Quran. And then the third source is the tafsir. Tafsir is the clear explanation by our scholarly teacher and leader, Imam Waisuddin Muhammad. These are the 3 primary sources that we use here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab for disseminating information and education and regarding to these various topics that Quran and I explore each and every Thursday evening here. So we do invite you to bring it to the lab, and you can do that by going to our email address, bringittothelab@gmail.com. And any suggested topics that you may have in mind that you'd like to hear Karan and I to speak on or to have in the lab, we do invite you to do that. In addition, you understand, to any commentary, and Karan will give you that at the end of the production tonight, how you can get in touch with us with the various venues that have been set up to communicate after the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab here. So we always have been traditional to have an overview of what it was that we had in the lab the previous week. And for that, we go to our very distinguished and esteemed host of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, my dear partner, always, Karan Shakir. Assalamu alaikum, Karan. It's always good to hear your voice, and it's good to be back here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with you.
Alhamdulillah, absolutely, and wa alaikum assalam. It's good to hear you as well. So to our radio listening audience, let's get to that overview. Last week, when we did the program, we were looking at what is marriage and how do you know you are married when you are truly married? How do you know? So in looking at what is marriage, we made it clear that we use the Quran as the main source and in the life example of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in living the Quran. And so we are using that Quran to get our definition of marriage. And what we looked at last week was that the fact that the Quran uses the word nikah, and nikah is a solid contract between two, a consenting male and a consenting female, or a consenting woman and a consenting man. And with that, that contract is for the union of the man and the woman. And we looked at the fact that that word nikah literally means getting absorbed in each other, the way rainwater absorbs in the earth. So to really be connected to one another, that is what the nikah, the word itself, means. Hence, the Quran describes the husband and the wife as garments for one another. The Quran describes them as zawj, equal partners. And the Quran looks at the connections that the male and the female have as husband and wife. So the general purpose of marriage is that the two individual, male and female, can provide company to one another, love to one another, procreate children, and live in peace and tranquility to the commandments of Allah. The Quran promotes the idea of a balanced, compatible, contractual marriage to ensure equality, dignity, and responsibility. So we look at nikah as that opportunity for us to contract that. Then the Quran tells us that on one hand, that man, that when we marry from among ourselves, and that the lawful ones from among ourselves that are desirous to you. That's what the Quran tells us in Surah 4, Ayat 3. And then on the other hand, it tells the man cannot hold the woman against her will. Allah says, O you who believe, it is not lawful for you to try not to become heirs to your wives by holding on to them against their will. So that's what we look at when we see the balance. You get those who are desirous for you, but also find the balance in that and marry those who desire you as well or who want to marry you. Don't force yourself on anybody. We also look at the fact that marriage is a place of justice and fairness, because Allah tells us that if you fear that you might not treat them justly, then marry the women that seem good to you. And so with that, there's justice that should be enacted in that marriage. And this will make it more likely that you will avoid injustice when Allah gives us that command in the Quran, in Surah 4, Ayat 3, if you want to go and read the whole thing. We also look at the fact that marriage is where you get your protection and where you get your dignity and where you get your image. And we know that because Allah says that garment for one another. And in our clothes, in our garments, that we get our protection, that we get our dignity, that we get our image in what we wear and how we wear. So if our mates are that for us, then they are to be our protection. They are to be the source of our dignity, and they are to be the source from which we gain this concept of our image and how we look. And then Allah tells us that if you cannot marry, you maintain chastity. So marriage is a place of sacred intimacy. So we don't just go out and engage with just anybody. Marriage is a place of sacred intimacy. And then we looked at how do you know when you are married? And in looking at how do we know when we are married, then Allah says to us that he has given us this marriage in Surah 53:39. And he says, human beings get what they consciously strive for, and soon it will be made manifest. So with that, you know you are married when you are struggling inside that marriage and you see the things coming to fruition. You are now one caring for one another. And one of our callers talked about when I had to make a conscious decision to be a provider and to give them my means, I knew I was married because I was ready and willing and fulfilling that obligation to be a provider. So we have to look at the things that Allah has given us inside of that relationship as our duties and seeing, am I fulfilling these things that Allah has asked of me as a mate to another? That's when you begin to know that you are married, when you are able to meet those responsibilities. We also had a caller who called in, and I pray that she is with us this evening because she left us with a question that we wanted to wait to answer today because it's going to take a while for us to answer it, and we were at the end of the program, so we didn't want to answer too hastily, mashallah. So inshallah, if she's here this evening and she pushes one, we'll get right to her. So Brother Mark makes his comments about our summary of last week, and that's the bulk of what I had. We talked about a lot more, but that's the bulk of what we discussed, inshallah. So Mark, back to you.
I want to say alhamdulillah, and for those who don't know what that means, it just simply means that the praise and the thanks belongs to Allah, first and foremost, always. And I want to commend Quran Shakir once again for doing an excellent, excellent job in terms of the overview of last week's highlights. Just want to just say a couple of other things, very, very important. You know, if you've been really following the Push Up in Marriage Learning Lab, I want to say that it's imperative that you always bring an open mind and an open heart. Somebody actually asked me, said, what do you mean by bringing an open mind and an open heart? Well, you know, I always like to use the mind is like a parachute. It works best when it's open. You don't want to have a closed mind or what it is that you may bring to the lab that you already have in your mind in terms of what marriage is. You know, okay, so when you bring an open mind, you bring your mind to the lab for it to be open to the things that we are actually saying in terms of whatever the topic is. Because perchance you may have a misconception or a misperception in terms of marriage. And, you know, over the years in terms of studying this, I find that many of us, we really don't know what marriage really is. And just as you just heard Quran Shakir go to the Quran and actually give ayats, instructing signs, this is where we're always supposed to start with when we are thinking in terms of anything that is near and dear to the believer. You know, this is very, very important because it is that this is a sacred institution, you see. Also, we could mention Surah 25:54, you know, when we say that it's a sacred institution because Almighty God, Allah, has established it for us. So the Quran is the best source when we want to begin to start thinking and articulating in terms of what marriage is. You know, when you bring an open mind, sometimes you just need to just leave off what it is that you're thinking is. And then this is the year here on IWDM Radio where we have the theme. The theme is set yourself free in 2023 by thinking with the Quran. I'm going to continue to push that because I think it's so relative to and needed and necessary for the progression of our lives as human beings, and particularly for the African-American human being. If we want to get the best out of life, we have to begin to start thinking with the Quran because the Quran will actually liberate us from misconceptions, misnomers, misperceptions of what it is that we may have gotten from westernized thinking. This is very important. Allah put this on my spirit to say this here tonight and actually opening up tonight. It's also, you know, very, very important to note in terms of marriage, a sacred institution of marriage, the premarital questionnaire that has been constructed. I was just invited by Munir Habil Umar for the past 2 weeks on disseminating information on the seven C's, traveling the seven C's from courtship to partnership. And by request and in all, I'm going to want to look at doing that very, very near future in terms of how it is that we should look at, you understand, selling the seven C's, which is a play on the word C, A-B-C. You see, not C's like S-E-A-S, but C's. And you will see the correlation in that from going from courtship to partnership. The premarital questionnaire, in terms of a communication piece, also helps us to uncover and discover not only in regards to potential mate, but also in regards to ourselves and what it is that Quran and I have discussed here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab is very, very important. So as you take down notes, please begin to connect those various highlights that you will hear Quran come back with from the previous learning lab. It's all connected. It's intertwined together. Very, very important because you want to know the various aspects. There are various components that comprise the human being. So in that courtship phase, as these categories and questions are being asked, we said there's four basic things, the foundation for taking the premarital questionnaire. The first is sincerity. You know, religion is sincerity. So if the religion of Al-Islam is, in fact, our religion, the Prophet Muhammad has said religion is sincerity. So we have to have the sincerity. That's first and foremost. And then it's honesty and integrity. These were qualities that was exemplified by Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the prayers and peace be upon him, before he became Rasulullah. Before he became the messenger of Allah, the people titled him as As-Sadiq, as El-Amin. As-Sadiq being the truthful one. El-Amin being the trustworthy one. So that's how this becomes one of the four basic fundamental things that in terms of engaging, first and foremost, yourself, and then that person that you potentially see as a potential partner for the sacred institution of marriage, they would do the same thing, and then you come together, and you ask those questions to each other. And with sincerity, honesty, integrity, and the fourth one is transparency, being open, not being closed, not being concealed, but be revealing in regards to that. This is needed and necessary. And in that process, now we can relate this to the Quran, because in that process we can relate it to the Quran, but we can relate it to the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because just what I have said to you, the connection is when we say that we're using Al-Quran, which is a final revelation to all of humanity, for any and everything, you understand, that is a point of interest and concern in our life, and most certainly the sacred institution of marriage should be at the top of the list for us. But then you have to understand that it is the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you understand, in his sirah, in his tradition, in terms of being the demonstration of the Quran. So this has a base in the fundamental. And then we look at transparency. Allah has said in Surah 49:12, avoid suspicion as much as possible. We don't want to make everyone, you understand, that would have an interest in us, or we have an interest in them, to make them a suspect. We want to give them the respect. And how do you avoid the suspicion? By transparency. I'm hoping that your mind is open to be able to see this. Sometimes we hear people, and they are a product of their own experiences. So they'll begin to start looking at the other gender as a suspect, not with respect, and thinking, oh, brothers, I don't tolerate it, won't allow it, because I will say that generality is never the reality. Or it's all brothers, or, you know, some brothers are all sisters or women. No, we cannot look at it like that from that perspective. We have to look at these individual relationships that we may have had, where we didn't have proper information or education in that regard. But each relationship, if in fact you have had more than one marriage or what, you should have learned something from that. You should be able to extrapolate something from it that would make you a better person and not a bitter person. I just wanted to say that. And the very first time that we did this, this topic here that we have, that we did this topic on AM 360 radio, it was not the topic for that particular production. I was just responding to a person that had called me up and asked about should they have an Islamic marriage contract. And I thought, and Allah just put it on my mind, I said, well, just respond to that question, you understand, on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Well, needless to say, and just responding, the board lit up. It lit up because now there was an interest in this, because there are many, you understand, that began to take their vows in terms of Islamic marriage ceremony and all. I didn't have a contract. I didn't have a contract, you know, in regards to that. So tonight we will talk about Islamic marriage contract. We will talk about its value, its benefit. We always look at things from base and foundation, the source that we use, Al-Quran, first and foremost, very important. So we want you to be good listeners tonight, and Quran and I want you to be participants, because what we're going to do, how we want to structure this tonight, we want to hear from you first in terms of how you see, how do you see Islamic marriage contract, and why do you think it's so very, very important to have an Islamic marriage contract? There are people that actually have taken vows, but they didn't have an Islamic marriage contract. So what is the place in that? How valuable is that? How needed and necessary is that? You see, so these are the questions that Quran and I will be answering, but we wanted to, just one last statement I wanted to make from last week, in looking at the components, looking at the components that comprise the holistic human being. You know, when Allah says that he has made for us, from among us, mates of like nature, of like nature. So the likeness of someone is the commonality, the reality of what it is that you have in common. But what comprised the holistic human being? See, this is very important information, and hopefully that you're ingesting and digesting that, because you have to look at yourself as more than a physical being. You know, actually, when we look at the steps in terms of selling the seven seas, one brother called in many years ago and said, "Brother Mark Shaheed, you forgot the sea of consummation of the relationship." I said, "No, I purposely didn't put that there. You don't need Mark Shaheed or Quran Shakir or Munir Habil or Imam Fahim Shoaib or anybody else that works in this arena to tell you to consummate the relationship. But those other seven seeds to come before that, and this is what it is that we need to truly learn. We need to know and understand that these components, you're more than just a physical being. So actually the physical relationship or the conjugal relationship is at the very end of it. But then we also are moral beings. Are we united morally? Mm-hmm. And then we are also a rational being. So how are we connected rationally? Is one person rational and the other person irrational? Well, how is that going to work? Are you married there? That's the question that you have to ask. Are you married as a rational being? Intellectually, you know, how important is that? And, of course, here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, you've heard me say for many years, not only here on IWDM Radio, but also AM360 Radio, one of the first relationships or intercourse that you're going to have is an intellectual intercourse. Now, I know this is new language to many of you. Never heard this before. Oh, I never heard this before. Why? Because you understand this is not what the American society actually gives. It is not based in terms of from an Islamic perspective. But you want to know, when do you first will have an idea that you're married? You won't have an idea that you're really married until you break down and look at the various components that comprise you and me as a holistic being. And not only in terms of intellect, it's an intellectual being, because Allah created us with an intellect. So where are you in comparison to that potential mate? Is there a unison that's there? Is there a connectiveness that's there? Is there a relativeness that's there in speaking and talking to that person? Is there a stimulation that actually happens in the intellectual intercourse? Well, if you're really married, it should be. I know I'm saying some things, you understand, that many of you haven't heard before, but I'm trying to, as they used to, the young people used to say, keep it real so that you can actually see, you understand, when the first idea may come to you that you're really married and be able to uncover and discover that in the courtship. in the courtship phase. Why do you think that courtship is so very important, especially if you don't know each other or you're really like strangers to each other? Not like you grew up together as children, same neighborhood, went to the same school, same recreational center. Your parents knew their parents and vice versa. Taught pretty much the same principles and values and family tradition being like and all of that. This is not the social dynamic today, just like it was a different social dynamic through the time of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They didn't have to put so much emphasis in terms of courtship. Why? Because they all, you understand, they knew each other. There is a difference, you see. So when we look at that, and then we're social beings. Allah has created a social being. And socially, it has an impact. The socialization has an impact on us in terms of the personality. The reality of who that person is oftentimes is predicated on how they've been socialized and acculturated. Is there a unison there? Is there a commonality? You won't know if that's a reality, that there's a commonality there, until you engage each other in terms of your socialization and your culturation background. Please, hopefully you got an open mind so you'll be able to see this. You see, one is an introvert, the other one's an extrovert. How does that work, or will it work? You see? And then, last but not least, you understand, you're a spiritual being. And this is where it all starts. The spirituality, the reality of the spirit of that person, how they have been influenced spiritually, and how the word of revelation, the Quran, has affected them. Because you can see the difference in the spirit of the believer and what they say, not only what they say, but what they do, and it's congruent. Or I could really teach you a lot more on this in regards to that, but this is very important. When you look at money management in terms of economics and business, how do you see that? Is there a maturity that's there, or is there an immaturity that's there? How do you connect there? This is how we have to look at it, dear people. We have to, if we've been thinking, you understand, that we going to get married. You say, we're going to get married. No, stop with that. Start with in terms of, are we married? Are we married? And if we see that we are married, then the commitment has to be, first and foremost, not to the person, but be committed to God's word, his will and his way. Now, when we do the seven C's, you're going to see, you understand, the correlation that's there. It's going to elevate our thinking, our mental attitude, our disposition, but also us spiritually, as spiritual beings. And if the commitment is there, the commitment is to do things the right way in accordance with God's word, his will, and his way, then the commitment naturally will flow to the commitment that you have with this mate that you have chosen to be with, to live the rest of your life with. I'm hoping that these things I'm saying that you take very, very serious in terms of rethinking how you see the sacred institution of marriage. The courtship phase is very, very important. Just here in the city of St. Louis, a man had been held for almost 30 years accused of something and was going to get a life sentence. And all of a sudden, somebody came forth and told the truth, that person was not guilty. And they said that they were the one that committed the crime, you see. So this is very important. We want to be liberated. We want to be liberated from those things that we need to be liberated from. And one of the most misconception and misperception is, I'm going to get married. People don't know no more about when they're going to be married than they know when they're going to actually transition. Mm-hmm. And this is whereas you, when you make Allah a managing partner in your relationship, and both are God conscious of God's word, will, and way, you're going to hear that quite a bit from future, you know, subsequent learning labs here on IWDM Radio, because this is the foundation. You got to have a foundation. And it's always your relationship with your Lord and Creator. That's the communication the Lord gives to us. And when we start with that, and we follow that, we follow the Quran, you can't and you won't go wrong. If you follow your own thinking in terms of what you think, you would have to lose this Western way of thinking, the Western way of thinking. I mean, an imam does not marry you. If there are Christian brothers and sisters, listen, the pastor or the reverend does not marry you. Now, I know this is all new. What is he saying? Yes, they did. They married me. No, he didn't. They performed the ceremony. Question, were you married? See, that's where you have to make that determination. Then the commitment. The commitment is to do right. And that is, to do right is to follow God's word. I could say a lot more, but the Lord put that on my heart and spirit, you understand, to add to the overview so that we come out new, you know, in terms of our thinking. Say, you know what, this is making good sense what Mark Shaheed is saying. I never thought about it like that. You see? So if you got conflict and confusion, there's argument, a lot of debate, a lot of contention in the courtship phase, then you can see that it's a yellow flag caution that's going to be proceeding into the sacred institution of marriage. So we need to understand marriage. We need to expand it in terms of how we see it and everything, and Allah would guide us to let us know, you understand, that there a marriage has taken place. But if you don't understand it in that regard, you might just stuck on one thing, and you never want to do anything out of desperation. Desperate. Ain't been married a long time. I need to be married. I need to be married. But do you know what marriage is? And how? When is the first idea when you're going to know that you're married? And your emotions cannot and should not lead you. That's energy and motion. But it has, Allah has created everything in pairs. So it has to be a rationality that accompanies the emotion, because that brings a balance to that. And morality becomes the partner for both. Now, this is in the soul. This is in the Quran and Al-Shams, as Imam Muhammad has taught us, the Fujul, and also the Taqwa. As I was teaching this on the Sister Learning Lab, the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, the soul has components, but they have to work together. The Fujul cannot and should not lead the Taqwa. They work together. And in that natural progression of the soul from Nefsin Amara to Nefsin Lawama, and from Nefsin Lawama to Nefsin Mukmaina, where the soul is at peace and pleased and pleasing to its Lord and Creator who created it. All of this is very important. This is what Allah is telling us in the Quran, that connections have to be made. Because other than that, we won't have the peace. You won't have the internal peace in yourself, and most certainly you won't have the peace, the tranquility that it is Allah promises. This is so very important. And it's a lot more could be said, and so if you do have questions on anything the Quran may have said in the overview or the extended overview that I have given, please press 1 and ask your question or make your comment if you need more clarification in regards to it. I know this is new. And a lot of times when you're giving things new, sometimes people are scratching their head, confounded. I said, what are you saying? And because you get a ring, that don't make you married. You see, just because you take the vows, that don't mean that you're married. All of this has become part of the tradition, what it is that we do. Yes, should there be in the cat, should there be an Islamic marriage ceremony? Yes, it should. It should be announced to family, should be announced to friends, community members, to the whole world, that something has transpired and has taken place. Should it be a reception? In most cases, yes. You know, to be able to receive those who have come in attendance to witness this and what it is that you have taken in terms of an oath. As Quran was so eloquently articulating in that. So we're going to start with the Quran in the pursuit of this topic, and who knows, it might be a part two, but we want you to listen very carefully, and that's why I say bring an open mind, bring an open heart. Open mind, it means that, you know, just let it rest what it is that you think you know. In an open heart, that's symbolic of the intention, the motivation, and the desire, you understand, to want to get it right, to understand it as Allah has established and prescribed this here for us. Yes, it's a prescription too. He's established it, but he knows best. He is alcoholic. He is the creator. He knows his creation. He knows what it is that we need in our life. He knows better than we do. Sometimes we just say, I don't feel like I need to be married or get married again. Well, who's talking to you? Who's telling you that? Allah didn't tell you that. So who is speaking? Quran, I think I said enough. I'll stop there and turn it back over to you. And want to say to our radio listening audience, if you tune in late, you are listening to IWDM Radio. And you're listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Quran Shakir and Mark Shaheed. And tonight's topic is the significance of the Islamic marriage contract. So please get your pencils, your ink pens, and your notebook. You should always come to the Learning Lab because we assure you that there's going to be some noteworthy things that can and will be said. And you want to jot that down, and you perhaps want to call in and ask a question, or you may want to make a comment to what Quran or myself may say tonight. And most certainly, we're going to do our mini survey to see what is the information been disseminated tonight, that whether or not it has really resonated with you. And we expect to hear from you, and we'll start this, you know, of course, always with the Quran. But we're going to ask you the question.
Well, we asked them earlier, two things. You said to them you wanted them to begin first by sharing their definition.
Yes,
and
definition,
then
yes.
And also asked if they had comments or questions about what we've said. And so hands have been patiently waiting.
Oh, okay. Well, you know I'm laughing. Y'all know my personality comes out on the radio. So, Quran, we stirred up the radio listening audience already, so I'm ready. Let's go to them and see what they have on their mind. Quran Shakir, let's go.
All right. We're going to start with 347-751. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
Thank you. As-salamu alaykum. This is Sister Mahatin.
Alaykum as-salam. Welcome.
And thank you, Sister Quran, because my interest always gets stimulated as you roll out the subject matter, and when you call for that hands to go up, mine virtually goes up because you stimulate it. And I realized that at the beginning of this, you were wanting to start off, as we used to say, on the right foot. Sister Quran, do we have any idea on a databasis or analysis basis how many of our masjid communities offer regular premarital or marital discussion classes?
We don't have the research to be able to tell you that. We know that a great deal of them do premarital counseling. That was one of the things we talked about last week, the importance of it. But we also talked about the importance of not just doing premarital counseling, but we need to do premarital counseling. So we don't want someone, you know, going before someone just speaking to them. But we want them to come, one, from the perspective of the Quran and what does Allah say to us, but also be prepared for the social, emotional aspect of helping mates get closer to one another and to understand one another before they make that commitment to one another.
Okay. And so if I walk into the masjid as a newly invited and interested person in embracing al-Islam, looking at it to see if I would benefit from embracing it as a way of life, what should my first few counseling sessions or interactive discussion sessions be like? What should I be informed of? If I'm single, is that different from what I need to know? If I'm married and a part of a couple, or if I'm divorced? What should I expect in terms of engagement?
That's a good question. So you're talking about for someone taking Shahada thing?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. After they're considering taking Shahadatain, or they're a newly Shahadatain person.
So, Mark, I'm going to let you answer some of that because I have my idea for what they should look at if they're taking Shahadatain. As far as marriage goes, I think that's an excellent question. And I don't know where our community actually address that, because I know I've seen people do that, but I have not seen that kind of counseling.
Yeah, but then this is the thing. Let me say this here, and I was just on another production not too long ago, and actually really addressed that. The Shahadatain, as we know, actually is the first pillar, which expresses Tawheed, the oneness of God, you know. That declaration is very, very important. It brings us into the fold of al-Islam. It is the verbalization. And ultimately, the goal is to make our life the demonstration that we are witnessing that there is no God but one God. And also when we say tain means two, as we know in Arabic, tain is two. So there's another kalimat. There is another statement that is actually made. And we also bear witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah is Allah's servant and he's his messenger, which also means that man cannot be God, but man can and has the capacity, as we witness in the Prophet Muhammad, he can be the servant and he can be the messenger. He can embody God's message. So with that being said, and why did I say that? It may be just generic to some people, but there are people that's listening in terms of that, and they say that we often hear they say, well, you got to be Muslim. Well, how do you become Muslim? I want to marry you. You see? They say, well, you got to be Muslim, and you got to take the Shahadatain. But that's, don't get it twisted here. You see, and that, see, because that becomes somewhat of, if you will, in terms of rehearsing. The Shahadatain has to be taken on your own free will and accord because of what it is that you got to know and have come to the logical conclusion that God is one. It is not to be taken to marry. I'm going to say that again. I'm going to say it three times. It is not to be taken just for to marry. Once again, the Shahadatain is not to be taken to marry. This has been a big issue and a big problem because if you've been in the community for a long period of time like I have and Quran and even you, Mahasan, You know, you've seen the evidence that if a person does that, you see, then if that marriage does not work, you don't see that person anymore. And you go back to what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that all matters and all actions are judged by your niyya. That means your pure intention, your motivation, your desire. So if in fact that we don't take the shahadatain for what it is and what it is that we're declaring, but we are taking it for the exclusive reason that we want to marry somebody, and they say that I cannot and I will not marry anybody that's not Muslim, then that's not the right intention. That's not the pure intention, nor is it the correct motivation and desire that should be had. So I have to say that first and foremost. I want to dismiss this misnomer and this misconception and misperception that many have had for years and years and years in this community saying that. See, because we can go to the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us those that are lawful for us to marry and those that are unlawful for us to marry. Allah mentions the mushrik. That's for saying for both the male and the female. I'm going to say that again. That's for both the male and the female. See, the mushrik is the disbeliever. Men, we're not privileged to marry somebody that's a disbeliever. We are the married to believers. And let me say this. This is something that's going to be eye-opening to you. That it's not all Muslims are believers. Say it again. Not all Muslims are believers. This is very important because for many, many years, it was like it was said, oh, well, the Muslim man, they can marry others than a Muslim woman. And the Muslim woman, they have to marry just a Muslim man. That's not what God says in the Quran. I challenge anybody on that. But it is that we don't read the Quranic Arabia, and so we get a misconception. We get the misperception in regards to that. We probably could have, for the information, one member, daughter of Imam Muhammad didn't marry a Muslim. Daughter of Imam Fahim Shuaib didn't marry a Muslim. Got a good marriage. Really an excellent marriage. But they qualified in terms of believer. And this is very important. Maybe I think that perhaps Quran make a note that we need to have a learning lab on that. Because I hear this all the time and I be shaking my head, oh no, they don't get it. They don't understand. Now you have what is idealistic and you have what is realistic. Idealistic, you should want to marry somebody of the same faith that you have. Realistic, they don't have to be of the same faith. We got that in terms of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he married a Jewish woman. He's the messenger of Allah. So he's a demonstration of the Quran. See, this is why we not only we need to study the Quran in depth, but Imam Muhammad us, we need to study the sirah of the Prophet. The sirah being the life of the Prophet and the life example in living the Quran. See, we have come along down through the years and things have just been put in that's not in the Quran. So sometimes we deny ourselves opportunities for marriage that could be good marriages. But because we have limited knowledge and we are unaware, unconscious of what God has said, our life has to be predicated on the Quran and what God says. And if you heard Imam Muhammad teach, he always would say, God said. He said, God says. And when he's speaking to the believer, and if we see ourselves as a believer, that is where our antennas should come up. So, oh my God, I never heard this before. Because I always thought that That has to be like that. Idealistically, that's what you want. Realistically, you may not be able to get that. But maybe Allah puts another one in your path that qualifies as a believer and not as a mushrik, as a disbeliever. So
Brother
that's off.
I want to interject just to put power to what you are saying and be transparent with our listeners. I'm glad that your explanation percolated over into explaining and defining that, because
yes.
I have to bear witness. I'm a person who, in my doing interfaith work with our community, in fact, I'm working with a congregation now that is of a different faith tradition.
Yes.
But they are believers in one God.
Yes.
And they satisfy the basic guidelines or tenets personally that I observe and try to hold to. And one of the gentlemen that I'm working with is a Dawah. We call them Dawah, outreach expert for the church. And he let me know after about 3 months of working together that he is very interested in Al-Islam and especially my portrayal of it, and that he has some affection. I'm being transparent. I don't usually do this because I'm a private person.
Yes.
So you will, in showing up or striving to show up, as Allah encourages in the pattern of Prophet Muhammad, Allah may connect you in terms of another seeker or searcher on the path.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
So, you know, women, we like to come with an advisor. We call him Wali, someone we can consult with or guide the person of interest to.
Yes.
So that their questions answered. But it is more of a normal occurrence, I believe, than sometimes, as you say, we are enlightened to acknowledge. And we need to be ready in terms of addressing any of those positive.
Oh, absolutely. You're in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. You're in St. Louis. And, of course, this Jewish brother, his name was Benjamin Israel. And we got to be very good friends. And the sister, Dr. Walker, was married to him for many years. And I was a painting decorating contractor. I did their home. They had a very good relationship. And oftentimes, he would try to even fast. He was of the Jewish faith. In excellent. He believed in one God. And when it would get up to read, she said he would read with her, and they would have discussion. It was never any inhibitions from her practicing her faith, and likewise. And at times functions, iftars, he would come out, and especially for the Eid. And we got to be very good friends. So I'm just saying that because, see, many of us, you're involved in interfaith dialogue and communications and seeing how you can work of the commonality, and many of us have not grown to that point because we really haven't understood the Quran. And for years, we've been thinking, oh, this is off limit for the Muslim. This is permissible to the Muslim. But if you go, and this year, when you read the Quran in the month of Ramadan, please take note to the ayats, the verses, put them down as you read the juice for that day, and then go back when you have time to read it slow. Let it go slow in your mind what God is saying to you. And the Prophet Muhammad, he exemplified that in his life. I don't want to spend too much more time on that, but that's an excellent, excellent question. And also I just like to say in terms of the resident imams, it has been my intention, and of course I'm going to ask Quran to help in terms of that. In Mahasin, you know a lot of people. You're familiar with the premarital questionnaire. Many of our imams they need, as Quran say, we've talked about this, some of our imams are not even equipped nor qualified to have premarital communications with two people, you understand, that have an interest in each other and what it is that they should be doing, to tell them what it is that they should be doing, and that premarital questionnaire, not because I have my fingerprint on that, so to speak, or Quran or Manira, you understand, to help other members in terms of constructing it, but it really is a good tool to actually use, and the imam should be aware of that.
Yeah.
And then he should advise them. It doesn't matter where they're at, whether they've never been married before, or they've been married before and divorced, now seeking marriage again, or if they're single because of transitioning of a mate in terms of being a widow or a widower, in regards to that, they need that premarital questionnaire, and to answer that with sincerity, honesty, integrity, and transparency. If they do that, they will get to know as much as they possibly can about that potential mate. And then if there's any questions or whatever, if the imam is also knowledgeable of that, then he can help to counsel them in a premarital conversation with them in terms of giving them references in the Quran and also in the life example of the prophet. But many of them are going to have to do their homework and begin to study that, so they can be able to help those couples, you understand, that may have some issues or whatever in regards to that, and telling them what God says in regards to that and what his Rasulullah, his messenger, have said in Sahih Hadith and demonstrated in his life and demonstrating the Quran. We'll stop with that now because I know we got some other hands in the air. We want to get to them, Mahasin, but thank you. You always ask very helpful questions. And Quran will give that information, how you can get that premarital questionnaire. And we want to push that, dear listeners. You get it, and you have permission from us to make copies of it. Make sure the imam gets it. Make sure all those who are aspiring, you understand, to have mates and want to be married, let them know this is a very, very valuable tool for communication, extrapolating information from that potential mate. And then also we need to attach Quran some kind of way, but the prerequisites is the sincerity, the honesty, integrity, and transparency. That is a prerequisite for actually utilizing this as a tool to get to know a potential mate. I'll stop there, but thank you so much, Mahasin. We want to get to some of the other callers and give them opportunity to ask questions or make comments. Assalamu alaikum. Please press 1 as you go out.
Alhamdulillah. And now we're going to go to 404-259. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Imani. I came in a little late. I came in on the part where you was talking about intellectual intercourse, and from that point on up until where we are now, my question is: where in the process of going towards committed Islamic marriage, where is it that this intellectual intercourse that takes place? What step is that, and how do you guard against the influence of the shaitan in that particular situation, I mean, or in that process? Clarify that. And I missed your list. You say you have a list or something with the seven C's or something like that?
I'm going to just say, sister, that's going to be a future production. So just stay tuned to IWDM Radio, Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. I'm looking at maybe that happening within the next couple of weeks or 3 weeks or so, somewhere about that time. The way this is going tonight, I can almost see maybe a part two on this, and perhaps we'll look at doing that as our next production, and I know that that's going to be maybe turn into a mini series, in regards to that too. And I do have already have produced a CD in regards to selling the seven C's from courtship to partnership. So, you know, we look at doing it here on IWDM Radio. Haven't done it in a while, but I thought if I did it on the sister station and it was well appreciated and well received, then we'll do it here on IWDM Radio, which I'm a host, and as Karan is a host here on this platform. And I think it would be very informational and educational to us in terms of helping us to be able to transition and to see if, in fact, we can transition from courtship into determination to be a partnership. Yes, ma'am.
Malcolm, I just want to be sure that you understood my first part of my question. So will it tie into a subsequent program, basically? Is that where you're answering that part of the question, or specifically the seven C's?
Well, the seven C's is my own personal intellectual property, but I'm willing to share that in a series that we will be conducting here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. That's what I'm saying to you. And then if you'd like to purchase the one that I did, the initial one, then I do have that for sale at a very reasonable price. And when that time comes, I'll disseminate that information, how I can be contacted. And I can just send it, and you can listen to. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
My main question, when you talked about the intellectual intercourse, where in the process is that? Are you inserting that, or are you allowed to just to protect from the influence of the shaitan? Shaitan gets in everything.
Yes. Okay. Well, you know, it has become traditional. But also, it supported the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that before reading the Quran, we should say, A'udhu bin lahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, that we are to seek refuge, or we are to seek shelter, protection with Allah from the influence of the shaitan, you know, who is an avowed enemy to the human being. And want to dismiss the misnomer that shaitan is an avowed enemy to Allah. He's not an enemy to Allah. He's an enemy to the human being in terms of the human being actually realizing and understanding the perception that Allah will have him to have. His mission is to alter the perception. So we can and we should, you know, in terms of actually talking to each other, we should begin that. Anything situation that we think that we can be influenced by shaitan, we should say that to ourselves. Matter of fact, you know, Imam Muhammad, in teaching us the Al-Fatiha, he said, yes, he said, you should say, it's called the Istiada. He said, you should say it. He said, but, he said, you should say it silently. Because Imam Muhammad said, in his opinion, the shaitan's name should not be mentioned before Allah's name. And so we know that Al-Fatiha begins with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It's unlike other surahs in the Quran. We know Surah 9, Taba, it doesn't begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. But in Al-Fatiha, that is the first ayat, and so that is what should be spoken first aloud. And so many times you hear people, you understand, they start A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Now Imam Muhammad is not saying you're wrong. He said, but you should say that to yourself silently. And then, you understand, you should say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. If, in fact, that you are reciting Al-Fatiha as Imam Muhammad has given, you hear some imams start, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. but they left the first ayah out and didn't made it solid. That maybe before we sign off, I'll give it to you, the seven ayahs and the stops that Imam Muhammad taught us, but there's a connection. While we're talking presently, the Hanukkah session, our brother Labi, who restarted the Hanukkah session, has asked me to do that. And I was supposed to just do one session, but the people love the information that was being disseminated by Imam Muhammad in breaking down the Al-Fatiha and what is opening our minds to, that they didn't want any other topic. So they've been requesting me to come back. So this week I will be dealing with the fifth of the ayat, Ihdina Siratal Mustaqim. So each week I've been taking the ayat at a time and giving a lot of great information and insight in regards to that. So, you know, when we talk about intellectual intercourse, so yes, we should say that. And it should be with the premarital questionnaire. This is what we are recommending in regards to that. Those are not all the questions, you know, in conversation and communication. You can start with a question, and then sometimes with the answer that that potential mate may give, it may lead to another question. So it goes just like what the prophet has said. All matters and all actions are judged by your niyyah. So your niyyah is to remain pure intention. Your objective in terms of courtship is, the Quran like to say, is a fact-finding mission that you're on. You're looking for facts about the truth about this person. You're looking for evidence, some proof, all of those things that you see in the courtroom to make a judgment. Both of you are making a judgment as to whether or not that this courtship can lead to a partnership. So engagement, unlike in Western society, is like when the man decides, you understand, what they say, I want to marry you. He buys a ring and he kneels on one knee. Or now you see they come up with so much creative ingenuity, jumping out of planes and putting it in a cake, you know, dessert or something. They sing the ring and all kinds of foolishness that they bring, you understand, in terms of saying engagement, I'm engaged. But from an Islamic perspective, when you begin intellectual intercourse, you understand, you are engaging at that point because there's a genuine interest. And the objective is that you're looking for a potential mate. So the premarital questionnaire is used as a guide, as a gauge, if you will, in terms of the questions that you ask and answer. You know, and your focus need to be on that. And if you're a God-conscious person, and they're a God-conscious person, in terms of what God's word, will, and way is, then you understand, you'll keep it halal. You'll keep it halal because you want to know that. Now, we have arranged those categories in a way, whereas it starts out fairly simple in terms of the personal history. You know, it's just like boy meets girl, if you will, and you have an interest, you know, and you want to know, are you single or are you married? Well, a married woman should not have an interest, you understand, in a married man if she's already married, and vice versa in that regard. Then sometimes people ask, are you happy in all of this? Well, you know, the personal history asks in terms, are you married? You know, are you married? Or do you have interest in somebody else? These are questions, you understand, that are leading questions. Maybe it stops right there. Well, yeah, I'm married. Or she's married, you see. So you can stop right there. That's a deal breaker right there. They're not interested in getting married to a woman that's already married. And so there should be no need for any more questioning. if it is, now this is where the shaitan comes in. This is where the shaitan comes in. Okay, so the man, he might even look and see a ring on a finger. So I'm just interested. What's your status? And she said, well, I'm married. Okay, now here's shaitan. Are you happy? See, he shouldn't be pursuing. She's already married, you see, in that regard. Now, what her status and what her situation is, that shouldn't be said to him. Because, you know, if we're looking at what it is that Allah has said, and we already know that it's permissible in terms of divorce, it's halal, but it's the most detested. Why? Because that's not in accordance with God's will and plan. Now, it'll take a little while to talk about that and everything, but I think you get the gist of that. So it is that those, that is what you should be talking about, and as you continuously pursue and talking about these different categories, it leads to more and more personal things in regards to this person. But it is, should be at some point, I think it's in number 5 or number 6, whereas that we've said before, there should be at that point in time that you know that you have much in common. There haven't been a deal breaker up to that point, and both of you are leaning toward, you understand, becoming partners with each other. Then, which meaning that you do have to talk about some things, you understand, that a lot of times people will overlook or look over. And that acronym KNOW, KNOW, when you can know now or wonder. So you shouldn't be wondering. You shouldn't be wondering going into the sacred institution in terms of taking your vows, and you wondering. Because you may find out that you don't have a commonality in morality. You married a perverted person, and you're not with perversion. So you can't just assume anything, and you can't try a person out. You can't try them out sexually. Let me sample you. Let me see how this is going to be. We can't do that, but you can talk about it. See, but that's not early on in the conversation. See, it actually follows the same course when we talk about consummation of the relationship. Those 7 C's that we're going to be talking about is going to precede consummation. And when you see how they've been arranged and how I will articulate it, you're going to say, oh my God, I never knew that. I never saw that. I never used that. But it's a lot of great information and education in regards to that. I think I've said enough there. I think
I want to add something to this, to the,
yes,
sister,
ma'am,
as well, sister. So going on what Brother Mark has said, it's more like a summary to what he said, and that is that when we think about intellectual intercourse, you understand the definition of intercourse. And so with intellectual intercourse, it is a back and forth of ideas, of values, of facts between a man and a woman. So it's a period of connectedness through that interaction. And there's a bonding and a fusing that happens because of that intellectual information that you've gathered. And we're saying using the premarital questionnaire, you can gain insight into types of conversations that you can have. And
that's
so when
right.
you're having those conversations, then you can see, are we connecting? Are we bonding? Are we fusing here? That's that intellectual intercourse that we are talking about. So that fear of shaitan creeping in may not happen because it's being guided by not physical things, but more intellectual things regarding
yes.
how you want to see your future together. So you're very transparent with one another. And I think that's important for us to note when we talk mm-hmm. about intellectual intercourse.
Mm-hmm.
Does that
and
answer
also. Yeah, and also, too, I'm glad, Karan, you went there. You know, I couldn't have done it any better. Karan really clarified it very well. I say alhamdulillah. But also, just like in terms of sexual intercourse. And, of course, we have to be consciously aware that this society is an abusive word language environment that we're in. And so when we hear intercourse, a lot of times it pops up in our mind, oh, that's sex. No, everything is not sex. It's a back and forth. But also, in this intellectual intercourse, there is a stimulation that happens in that, in terms of that bonding that Karan is talking about, that connectiveness, that relatedness, and it can actually produce, yes, intellectual intercourse can actually produce ideas and everything that perhaps that could happen with this potential mate, if in fact that this is a real match for you. You're trying to see a big part of your relationship is going to be intellectual. I mean, just think about it. What type of communication are you going to have? Are you going to enjoy this communication even when it comes to the sacred institution of marriage? Well, you get a sign of that in the courtship. This person don't talk. They don't say anything. You know how many times I heard women say, oh, girl, I don't even know what the man is thinking. I don't know how he's feeling. So all of these things come into play when you talk about intercourse. It's a back and forth, just like Karan said, back and forth. And they're doing it with sincerity, honesty, integrity, and transparency, and you're doing the same. And you can see how that can become. You can't wait sometimes to talk to that person. And that should be carried on from the courtship. And if it leads to a partnership, you should not be hardly able to wait to engage. I'm saying that to put emphasis on engage. See, when you're in the sacred institution of marriage, you still should be engaged. Stop thinking from the Western society, engagement is just a one-day thing. He proposed to me. And now we was engaged. No, you was engaged all the time. And you never broke the engagement. You see, and then that's when you are accepting. You see, in that communication, you had to be open. Say, well, you know what? I think like that too. Matter of fact, I have a shared experience. I'd like to share with you. That's the back and forth. Because they gave something from them. And it stimulated something in you, and you gave something back to them to say, you know what? We have a relatedness there. And you continue to, in that premarital, it becomes like a guide, what you should talk about. And you feel so refreshed. You say, well, this is going pretty good here. Alhamdulillah. And it can give birth. It can give birth to new ideas and things you understand that you want to see in your marital relationship. It gives birth, you see? And we could say more about that, but I think we said enough. I think you get it now. You know, so if intercourse came up in your mind in terms of associating it like a lot of people do, and it's a lot of Muslims, you say that. You know, like they have that old game show that say the first thing to come to your mind, intercourse, sex. No. No, for us, it is engagement in terms of the intellect. This is what Prophet Muhammad, let me say this. This is what Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said in Hadith Qudsi, that Allah revealed to him that the aql, the intellect, sometimes translated as the human brain, was the most valuable and useful thing that Allah created. Now, you heard that saying before, that the mind is a terrible thing to waste? I rejected that. And we looked at it, understand, rationally. The mind, and Karan is an educator, you know, so she can correct me if I'm incorrect. There's a sentence called linking, a linking verb, where there's something in the subject that is linked to something in the predicate verb. So when we say, when it said that the mind is a terrible thing to waste, the subject is mind. Is a linking verb, but it's talking about as a thing, But the adjective describing the thing is terrible, a terrible. No, that's not
okay.
important without a sign. The mind is a valuable thing to waste. You see, by just by thinking and looking at the verbiage in terms of that, here's somebody that said something and everybody got excited about that and said, yes, the mind's a terrible thing to waste. No, the mind is a valuable thing to waste. Allah didn't say that the mind was terrible. How do you think we have what we have today if that mind, that intellect was not valuable in terms of engaging Allah's natural creation to be able to read revelation, the benefits that have been extrapolated from that? No, the mind, and so the next time you hear somebody say, you know, the mind is a terrible thing to waste, you know, say, no, the mind is a valuable thing to waste. If it's not being utilized.
Okay, Mark, we have a lot of people waiting.
Oh, we got a lot of people waiting. Okay, so sister, we're going to stop there and everything, and we're going to move on down the line here because a lot of people lined up. Continue to listen.
Alhamdulillah. It's a great exchange.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. I hope you got something from that. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. Press 1 as you go out, Karan. I'm sorry. Let's keep moving. I'm enjoying it.
Okay, and now we're going to go to 706-627. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Muhammad.
Alaikum assalam.
Prophet Muhammad. And may Allah.
Yes, sir. You got a question, a comment now, Brother Muhammad. You got to stay on topic here, bro. Because
I'm not seeing anything other than
courtship and marriage and what we're talking about tonight. In regards to courtship and marriage, anything that we've talked about, gotta be comments on that. Other than that, I'm not accepting anything else other than that. Okay, go ahead, Brother Muhammad. You got it.
Well, go ahead. You already destroyed my character, so go ahead. I'll pass this time then because
okay, thank you.
I didn't know.
Keep listening.
Yeah,
keep listening, Brother Muhammad. Keep listening. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
All
right. Wow.
Okay, that's okay. Press 1 and go out, Brother Muhammad. That's keep moving, Karan.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad. And now we're going to go to 773-449. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Amira Muhammad out of Chicago. I'll make it brief. This is such a rich conversation, and it lays the foundation for having a genuine marriage. The type of conversation that could save a marriage, that's the foundation. It's a conversation that could possibly have a couple to move their vows now that they have accurate information to move forward. It's a conversation that possibly maybe couples have divorced, and now they have new information to bring to their lives where they can feel that it could be an everlasting union. So I just want to thank you all. I want to stay on just for the sharing, the caring, the level of intensity that you bring to bring a certain kind of listening to embody it and to incorporate it into lives to make a difference. So just thank you.
Thank you, Samira.
Press 1, Amira, as you go out the queue so we can keep the studio clear. All right. Great comment.
All right, now we're going to go to 347-751. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
Is that Mahasa?
Thank you. Yes. I thank Allah. Sister Karan picked up on that. I was asking Allah if there's any help. Let me back in. I just want to validate and second mention of what Sister Amira just so deeply expressed and analyzed. It is everything. This line of questioning and discussion going on as a result of your offering, Brother Mark and Sister Karan, is life-saving. And I want to use a term our parents used to use. We're in the baker shop crying for bread. So Allah has let us know that in the Quran, He has already baked up the goodies.
for the believing or the seeker or the searcher to enjoy on the journey. You are amazing. Your wisdom, the understanding both of you have shared this evening. I can't wait until next week's program as you further the wisdom that you're sharing in the conversation. And I can see that it has the power to ignite perhaps a series of marriages or marriage potential that can be enlivened again in our community. Doesn't matter what age we are, how many times we have approached and tried to succeed in marriage. And it doesn't matter if now we have a different understanding. That's what life is about. It's about evolution. So I have something that I want to propose to you just to think about. I feel a relationship coming on, and I'll tell you what I mean. This is a time in our societal life where there's a new value that's been given to coaching. It's taking people by the hand and the mind and walking them down the road of success. I hear that in all that you're sharing with us, and I invite you, Karan, Sister Karan, Brother Mark, and even Sister Banira, to form a relationship of coaching consultancy and take it, like they say, take it on the road, because it is so necessary that people get critical guidance to achieve the critical advantages that Allah is offering us. I think you all are experts and you have so much valuable information to share. I'm going to stop right there. Love you both. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. We love you too, Mahasan, and thank you so much. Excellent commentary. And so, Karan, let's think about maybe say traveling, huh? So alhamdulillah, we thank Mahasan for that. And, you know, we want all of our listeners to help in getting this information out about the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. It's in session. You can come here and get it. And I'm quite sure, I know I'm open, and I think Karan is open. If you want to extend an invitation to us and everything, Karan, what you say, bring it to the lab at gmail.com, any city, masjid, Islamic Center. I'd like for us to come there and maybe do a seminar for the whole weekend or whatever, and we can say what the conditions will be for that and everything. I think that we would be happy to do that. I can't speak for Karan, but I think I can. Karan can speak for herself. Go ahead, Karan.
You're absolutely right. That was right.
Okay. Okay, Mahasan. You made a valid point, because it can't be underscored, and we want to see more people actually be engaged in terms of this. And those of you who are actually learning, you're learning and getting this information, you can start a committee there in your own masjid or your own Islamic center. Because this is an interest and a concern, and especially when the Prophet has said this is one half of your deen, your religion. How can you overlook it? How can you look over it? How can you bypass this? The more you get to know, the more you get to grow. That's how you have to see it, you know, so that the next time around you do better, perhaps in making a better selection the next time. Don't give up. If it was your first attempt in learning, that's the acronym for fail. Yeah, the word fail is your final attempt in learning. We'll always be learning, you know, even when it comes to the sacred institution of marriage. But we have to start with the Quran. This is why we choose to have these type of topics. What is marriage? Have we ever looked at it from the perspective of the Quran? Those of you who missed the overview, what is we've been discussing for the last couple, 2 or 3 weeks, either go back into the archives, and Quran will let you know how you do that at the end of this production. And then just sit and listen to it and take some notes. Think about it. And some of the things you might need even more clarification, we ask you to bring it to the lab. This is what this is all about. Bring it to the lab. And we can expound on it a little bit more and give more explanation and clarification. So, Quran, do we have it? And we want to say, if this has resonated with you tonight, we want to utilize the time as best, and Allah is the best knower. We haven't gotten to really anything that we really want to present, but I think it's a good time for those of you who may not have had anything to say, you know, at this time. I like to do my little mini survey, and that is that
before
if
we
anything,
do, let's get the we have one more caller. Let's get
oh, we got another caller. Okay. Okay.
Yes.
Let's go. Caller. Okay.
All right. We're going to go to 630-747. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
Mm-hmm. Assalamu alaikum. Can everyone hear
me? Alaikum assalam. That voice sounds familiar. Who are you and where you calling from?
I'm Jordania, and I'm calling from Chicago.
Okay.
Alhamdulillah.
Your question or comment?
It's a question. So my question is, can you speak more about marriages that have a Muslim woman or Muslim man in a different religion?
Okay, either a Muslim man or a Muslim woman, and they are married to someone of a different faith than Al-Islam?
Yes.
Is that what your question is?
That is. Mm-hmm.
Okay. 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 Yes, we can actually talk about that. Quran, what would you like to say in regards to that? And do you know of any marriages where, and I know the Atlanta community have a lot of contingency of Muslims there. Do you know of any? And what could you say in regards to that, Quran?
I do know several, mashallah. And so I'm not sure what you're looking for, sister. I don't know if you heard the comments earlier regarding that. And we did say we were going to do a show on it. So I'm not sure if it's something in addition to that that you're looking for in your question. Is it? Did you hear what we said earlier?
Yes, I was here earlier to hear it as well. I guess I will, stay tuned. This is my first time I've been a part of the show.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Let me ask you, are you Muslim?
Yes.
Or not? You are?
I am. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, I think we're going to do a production on that, and we'll look at it from the Quran. And as you heard me say earlier, Prophet Muhammad even married a Jewish woman, the wives that he had, you know. You know, and being the Rasul Allah, the messenger of Allah, you know, he had to demonstrate in terms of different women, different backgrounds. The one commonality that all of them had, except for Aisha, that they all were widows. All of them were widows, meaning that they had been married before. And then when you look at the reason why he actually married them, you see it was very honorable. Identified in terms of that, in the importance and significance in terms of having and maintaining family and community life. You know, at some point we may be looking at doing that. When I was with the sister station, AM360, we must have spent, I'm thinking, 3.5, maybe close to 4 months in terms of going over the marriages, the different marriages that the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in terms of starting with Khadija, 25 years of monogamy, a monogamous relationship, about 8 or so years in terms of polygyny. But being the messenger of Allah, when you think about Rasulullah, the messenger of Allah, the messenger brings a message. It's a message that God gives in the Quran, but the messenger mission is to live out that message, to be an example for that message, you see. And his life becomes also a part of Al-Islam and also teaching. In teaching, you understand, in regards to what is permissible, you know. There was one of the marriages that was commanded by Allah from the Quran. So when we do that, we will talk about a lot of these things. And I think it would be really a beautiful, enlightening, informational, educational experience for us, especially those who have not taken the time to study the life of the Prophet, even when it came to the sacred institution of marriage, and the different personalities of the women. They all were not the same. But in the life of Zab of the Prophet and how he dealt with women of different socialization, acculturation, and consequently their personality, you know. See, so since that time, a lot of study has been done in terms of the personality. By the age of 10 years old, do you know that 90% of your personality has been formed? And the only thing that can possibly change that in social science is what we call a SEE moment, S-E-E. It's an acronym for significant emotional experience or event that may happen in your life that can turn you around in terms of the person that you have been, how you've been socialized and acculturated. These are some topics, subtopics that ultimately will come up, you know, in doing an in-depth look at the Prophet Muhammad and his marriages and to the women that he actually married and for the reason that he married them. We're going to find out that some of the things you find on the Internet, they're not true, and it is to designed to denigrate our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he was noble, he was honorable, and he was a very compassionate man and as a leader, you know. And so therefore, you understand, he exemplifies the excellence in human character and qualities that all human beings should have. So I just want to just say that just in general. But please just continue to listen. Just continue to listen. All the information that Quran and I will be disseminating will be of good value. And many of the things that we've said before, you just want to connect them, keep connecting. It's like a puzzle. You're putting it together. It's, oh, boy, I'm seeing this picture. Even like, oh, boy, now I see. Yeah, I see this picture. So thank you so much for calling in and asking that. So we'll do something special on that so that we don't shortchange any of the believers in terms of how we should see that and by way of the Quran. That is the foundation and the life example of the Prophet in demonstrating the Quran. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you. In particular that you had questions about that generated your interest in knowing more?
Not specifically, but I am 26, and my goal is to find a husband. And in reality, mm-hmm. I just realized that my ideal, of course, is to have a Muslim man, but I am finding men of different faiths, and I was just wondering how that works with Muslim mm-hmm. woman and a non-Muslim man.
I understand. So one of the things I highly recommend that you do, if you get the premarital questionnaire from us, and just email us at bringittothelab@gmail.com, get the premarital questionnaire and do it with yourself. You know, do that questionnaire on yourself to to help yourself to understand you a little bit better and what kind of mate you might be seeking, so that when you start that search for the mate, it's not necessarily looking for a particular height or a particular color or even a particular religion per se. You know, it's better when you have someone in the same religion. But when you get that, you can narrow your look down. I always say you can design your mate. And in that design, you know what you're looking for. So when you come upon them, if you're looking for someone who is well-suited in their understanding of God and how they practice that, and they're living according to the Quran, or they're living according to scriptures, you know, this is what you have to decide, what you're looking for. And then what happens is that Allah hears your prayers, and the one you're seeking is seeking you. That's what we have to know. And based on what Allah tells us in the Quran, He has already shaped that person for you. Based on your experiences and your values and who you are, He's already shaped that person and placed them in the universe for you. And so you're now both on a quest to find one another based on those things that you have experienced. So I would say begin with that. And step one, I need to design, understand myself so that I can look at what I need in order to fulfill who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And inshallah, when we do that program, we can talk more about it.
Oh, that sounds good. Thank you.
And we are happy to have you as one of our new listeners.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Please continue to listen. Invite some of your friends and family, you know, of this particular you know, age group that you're in, and let them know that they can tune in and they can call in just like you did, and feel free to ask questions and all. So even if they want to call in directly to the studio or just want to listen by way of the Internet, Brian and I, we do invite them to listen in. So I'm Dali Lan. And I think that next week, that, you know, as we are getting close to wind down, we still have time, so you can still press 1. We'll do our little mini survey here real quick. But we really didn't get into what we really want to get in, but Allah's the best knower, Quran, always.
Allah knows that.
Yeah, we want to just do that. We always do our little mini survey, and it goes like this, and we want everybody to be a participant.
Okay,
if, I mean, even if you called in prior to and made statements or asked questions, we want you to be a part of it. And those of you who just been listening, we want you to be a participant. And we're going to ask you that you've been listening here to the tonight's topic, and we haven't really gotten into it, but questions have been asked in regards to courtship and marriage and all that, who you can marry, who you can't marry, and just a variety of things. But it actually became a Q&A session, and that's fine with Quran and myself, because we were looking at perhaps having one of those in the very near future. Periodically, I think it's important to have a Q&A session because we have different questions on our mind. But if what you heard tonight, this is how we're going to do it. If anything you heard tonight actually resonated with you, maybe something that you didn't know that really resonated with you in a general way or a specific way, we'd like for you to be a participant. So if anything tonight has resonated with you, what I'm going to ask you to do is to press 1 now and hold it for 10 seconds. Press 1. Just press 1. You're just being a participant. And I'm at 5. And I'm at 10. Now, if you choose to say something in terms of what resonated with you in the general way or specific thing that you may have heard, Quran and I like to hear from you. We ask you to stay in the queue. Don't press 1 to go out. Stay in the queue. But if you don't want to say anything, you can press 1 and go out. So at this time, Quran, did we have anybody that would like to share something with us? that resonated with them?
We have several with their hands up, still
okay.
up. So I'm going to start with 708-527. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You're on air.
Chicago. All right, Chicago. You're live. Take yourself off of mute if you're muted.
708-527.
And could they have
right.
off? Okay.
Right.
We'll come back.
We'll come back to them. And then we're going to go to 773-449. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You're on the air.
I sound like I'm just listening here. Actually, I was pressing for one for the survey, but I don't have a comment. So I tried to get off. It wouldn't go off. Okay, let me try again.
Yes, ma'am. Well, thank you.
Thanks again.
Yes, ma'am. All right, and
okay.
then we're back to Sister Mahasin.
Okay.
Sister Mahasin, you have a comment?
Yes, I do. And the short of it is I'm exhilarated by the energy that has been produced this evening and the curiosity that has been ignited in further understanding processes and procedures for courtship and marriage. I'm excited as you will return to us to present answers or leading thinking, such as the young lady did in asking her question. I thank her for her courage to ask that question, and I will be listening. I pushed one with the first survey question because this session has ignited things and thinking in my mind that deliver an amount of encouragement and excitement to the concept of marriage. Marriage is the foundation of community life. So let's get started. Let's get this party started.
Thank you so much. Alhamdulillah. All right. So the others, I've called on them and they didn't respond. So I'm going to turn it back over to you, Mark.
Okay, and Karan, if I don't know that if last week the caller that called in, if they actually are listening, they wait, it was just at the last moment, and maybe the situation circumstances only would allow them to be able to just get in, and I don't know that if we have that question tonight, and
yes.
if they are listening at this time, I'm inviting them to actually to press one, ask that question again. We do have a little time before the top of the hour. So if you are listening and you called in very late last week and you asked two questions, we were able to get one in, but the other one we weren't able to get in. And I don't remember the question. You know, a whole lot of things. Oh, you have the question. Okay.
Yes. And so if she's listening, I don't know if she'll push one or not. And those
okay.
who have pushed one, you're in the queue. If you can push one to come out of the queue because you're still in. The question was, who should move in with whom once they are married? And then she also asked, how long is a courtship?
Okay, which one did we address? We addressed one of them. Which one did we address?
We addressed how long does a courtship.
Oh, we addressed that. Okay. So what do you think, Ann, when you talk about who should, you know, this sounds like a question from another show that I was listening to last week. Who should move in with whom? Both of them, the scenario, both of them got places of resident, and maybe just say their homes or maybe one live in an apartment or what. Who should move in with who, Grant? How you see it?
Well, I'm going to say what I often say. When the couple, they're going through that process of understanding one another and deciding where the relationship is headed. And
mm-hmm.
in that process, they look at what their assets are and they look at what they own and what they have, then they make that decision about what will be best suited for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I would say weigh it on practical things, not just on emotional things.
Mm-hmm.
Of, you know, where you should live, what will be best for both of you as far as how you want to live your life and whether or not you're even going to decide to get a place different from both of your places.
Yeah.
So that's,
yeah,
that's a discussion that has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you go into that with a consciousness so that you're not going in with the ego out front thinking,
mm-hmm,
oh, you got to move in with me, or you've got to move in with me. Either way, it is really for them to talk it through,
yeah,
based on practicality and to come to a mutual agreement. And that's what I think is important.
I'm like, now, you know, I can almost swear that that you answered that question before,
yeah,
right
here.
Sound
like you did.
Yeah, I mean,
so
you know, as I listen to your answer, you know, if it wasn't the same sister that asked that question, somebody asked that question, and it seemed like it's been within the last month. I don't know. I kind of get confused, you know, exactly when and all of that. So I'm glad that I have you as a partner, you know, here. That, but you did answer that question before. I know that for sure,
yeah,
and everything. And then, you know, it's not a cookie cutter. It's not to say, there's nothing to say that you have to, the woman have to move in with the man or the man have to move in with the woman. But on this other show, I'll just share this. In terms of the different scenarios was painted, but it comes back to the Quran, and we always want to use the Quran. Always use the Quran for answering. And it is that the man's role and responsibility, Ar-Rajul Kanamuna Anisa, that the men are the supporters, and they, Kanamuna is that they are the protectors, and they're the maintainer of the women. And so your wife is a woman. So you have to be the one, brothers, to protect and maintain. Now, it goes back to what Quran says in terms, it's not a right or wrong. You know, it becomes a discussion between those two people. And I think it's good to have the flexibility, but wherever you decide to live and whatever the decision is, you understand, if you move into one dwelling, then a man should be prepared, you understand, to honor that role and responsibility that Almighty God has given to him. So, you know, that doesn't abrogate, because if and the other thing is in Al-Islam, this is very important that I'd like to share with you, is that the living conditions should either improve for the sister, or at least what it is she have. She should not go, it should not be denigrating or a regression. It should be a progression,
right,
in that regard. This is very important, brothers, you know, in terms of, oh, well, this sister got more than me. You understand, I'm just going to move in with her. You may have a room or a little tiny studio apartment. She's got a house. Well, this doesn't abrogate you from the role of responsibility that you have. And then as Quran say that futuristic, it should be that you be looking at perhaps getting something that the two of you all would be able to do together. But the role of responsibility stays the same. That does not change. In other words, Allah's word does not change. That's very important. So whatever the decision is, brother, you still have that. And then, sisters, you have the responsibility because Allah says, and therefore, the righteous woman. So what do you mean by righteous woman? What does this got to do with her responsibility? If she gets a man that is devoutly obedient to Allah in performing the role of responsibility that Allah has given to him in terms of being that kalamuna, being that protector, being that maintainer. The righteous woman, she has to have right. You can't be a righteous woman without having righteous thinking, the righteous disposition. That as that woman that has a devoutly obedient husband to Allah. So therefore, the righteous woman is devoutly obedient, but devoutly obedient to Allah too. And following that, Allah tells her what her role is, and that is to be a protector too, that she is to guard in his absence that which he would have her to guard. We won't take a lot of time on that, but basically in terms of he maintaining her with the things that it is that she needs, it's not only in terms of just the physical or material things that is in maintenance, also in terms of the emotional maintenance, in terms of social maintenance, spiritually, as a spiritual person, in terms of the maintenance there, but also the guard in his absence, as we gave the narrative of Prophet Ibrahim and Ishmael, you understand, in two different women that was his wife, not at the same time, but differently. But one had a different disposition, and it was negative in regards to her husband. The other one, where the conditions were still the same, had a positive disposition. She being the doorpost in terms of who comes to the door when her husband is absent. This is what Allah is saying. She is supposed to guard his character because she didn't know who she was talking to. She was talking to his father, you see, about his son. And the father left a message in terms of who it is that you're supposed to keep in your life and who is it that you're not supposed to keep in your life because you can't trust them to guard in the absence what Allah would have them to guard. I think I've said enough, Quran, and we're right there where we need to get ready to sign off here. And go ahead, Quran, and you can give the information.
Thank you for tuning in to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab on IWDM Radio. You could have been doing other things, but you chose to spend this time with us. So we thank you, and we pray that you have benefited from our learning lab. If you did, we ask you to tell a friend. We ask you to stay connected with us. So go ahead and like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, or vice versa. And when you do, we ask you to go a step further and look at our posts. Go ahead and like our posts. Make a comment on our posts. That lets us know you're there and you're benefiting from that. If you have a question and you want more information on something that we've shared, you can email us at bringittothelab@gmail.com. Our Facebook and Instagram is Bring It to the Lab. Again, we thank you. We look forward to you being back with us again next week and telling your friends to join you when you do come. Back to you, Mark.
Alhamdulillah, and the praise and thanks belong to Allah first and foremost. We want to thank our radio listening audience for tuning in tonight to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Always a big thanks to my partner, Quran Shakir, as she always shares her insight and wisdom with us each and every Thursday night here. We appreciate that. Want to give a little quick exercise, homework, and it involves just thinking for next week's Learning Lab. As we'll be on this topic once again, the value or the significance of having a marital contract, an Islamic marriage contract. So we want to hear from you right off in terms of what it is that you think it is and what is it that should be on that. So that's your homework assignment to begin to think, and maybe you want to do a little research on Islamic marriage contracts so you'll be prepared to come back into the lab and to give that information. We want you to know the beat goes on here, that tomorrow is Salatul Jumu'ah Day, Muslim worldwide. Those are immobilized, can't get out and about, come back to IWDM Radio. with Imam Mikhail Sayer, starting at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Central, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. Longest running production here on IWDM Radio, Words Make People. Once again, with Imam Mikhail Sayer, it starts at 1 o'clock Eastern, it's high noon Central, and it's 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. New production here, beginning of the week, my good brother and friend, Imam Nazim Pasha. His production is called ABC. That stands for Al-Islam-Based Conversation. Yes, it starts at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 5 p.m. Central Standard Time and 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. So please let your family, friends, neighbors, colleagues, and all to tune in, listen in each and every Monday with Imam Nazim Pasha, new production, ABC. And Tuesday is the very distinguished Rashid Salam with Instructor Abdul Shaheed on the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. It starts each and every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And Wednesday is the Sister Learning Lab to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. That's the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with our very distinguished, esteemed host, Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean. She joins yours truly, Mark Shaheed. It happens each and every Wednesday, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. And it's followed by the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, as we had Professor Aisha K. Mustafa on her trip to the Senegal. It was so educational, informational. We look for you to tune in. That happens each and every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. And that brings us back. You just heard it live here on IWDM Radio, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, with our very distinguished, esteemed hosts, Quran Shakir, and yours truly, Mark Shaheed, each and every Thursday night, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 6 p.m. Central Standard Time and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. Don't forget about the Muslim Journal. It's the lifeblood of our community. Make sure you try to keep your subscription up. And if you're able to help somebody else with a subscription, please do so. So until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum.